On this week's episode of Third and Forever, we are back in studio with Age from Status Skull. We're going to be talking about the Stefon Diggs trade because, believe it or not, it actually did involve a little part of the Vikings. So we, of course, have to give our reactions on that. And then we're going to get into our draft prospect watch list, I'm going to call it. Players that we are hoping our teams draft in a couple weeks here for the NFL draft. Give the Packers perspective from Kevin, and obviously Age and I are going to be talking about the Vikings perspective. We're going to go through especially like quarterbacks because, you know, shocker, that's probably where the Vikings are going to go. And that's going to be it for this episode. All right, let's go. This week's episode of Third Forever is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. I want to tell you about the easiest way to get some action on sports. It's Underdog Fantasy and their Pick'em game. Just pick higher or lower on your favorite or least favorite player stats, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Underdog keeps it super simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 to 5 players to fill out your Pick'em entry, get every pick right, and take home some cold hard cash. Use the code 10K to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 by Underdog. Once again, that's code 10K on the Underdog app or go to www.underdogfantasy.com. Welcome to this week's episode of Third and Forever, presented by 10,000 Takes. I'm your host, Adam Ozger, and always by my co-host, Kevin Ulm, and a friend of the pod from State of Skull, we've got AJ. AJ, how's it going, man?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome back on. We had you on probably... What? I guess it was beginning of last season, I think it was.
I'm still in the blender. You called him Age and AJ since the show started.
I have two names.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just trying them both out. You know, I want to see what we
see
get
how
here.
It feels. Yeah.
Yeah. So how's it been in the old State of Skull world for you?
Well, we're currently undergoing some housekeeping. More on that later when we actually get a show out, when I actually have the time to get a show out. I know for the five fans out there that exist of State of Skull, it's been a little bit quiet on that front lately, but we're working on a couple things behind the scenes, and I think we'll get ramped up here with the episode coming up soon with the draft coming up.
Yeah, you have 17 days, 2 hours, 42 minutes, and 40 seconds from the time of recording.
Wow. So wow.
Even less now.
It just keeps ticking. It's crazy. And I think
that
it goes like, we all work full-time jobs. Like, we all are doing other stuff. We're all, you know, I'm married. Kevin just bought a house. Mm-hmm. So he's been in moving mode. And it's like, it does take, like, yes, in the off season, we record every couple weeks. But, like, we're still, like, doing stuff and prepping for the episodes and whatnot. And, like, the same goes for State of Skull. And, like, it's just life gets busy. And especially the NFL offseason, like, this is our time to recharge a little bit. But we're
for
here.
Sure.
But we're here for an episode. We're going to talk about some things. Let's start with the Stefon Diggs trade. This happened late last week. I think it was Thursday.
Thursday sounds right.
It was a weekday.
Yeah.
I was at work. That's all I remember.
Known diva receiver.
Stefon
Diggs. We've been starting to see some cryptic tweets. And you, Vikings fans, we all know what that means. Like, things are a-brewing. And Bills fans, we tried to tell you when you originally got him, you thought it would be different for you. It wasn't.
Well, it was different for a minute. Like, he was happy for a while.
Well, yeah, he was extremely productive.
A man can only lose to Patrick Mahomes so many times.
It's true. It's true. So the Texans acquired Stefon Diggs on Wednesday. Sorry, here it is. Sending a 2025 second round pick, which was the second rounder that we gave them for their first rounder. So it was a Minnesota pick that they got they sent away for Stefon Diggs. They also then acquired a 2024 sixth round pick, which is the number 189 from the Bills, and then a Bills 2025 fifth round pick. So they took all that plus the contract that he was owed. Then they did a weird thing.
But wait,
they just like voided that the rest of the contract. So he's on a 1 year like trial run.
Yeah,
I don't get why the Texans necessarily did that, because he's 31 next season. it basically says you can be here for a year. We traded away, you know, a second rounder for that, which mm-hmm. is a pretty good asset, especially if it's the Vikings and if the Vikings are going to enter in a new regime with a rookie quarterback. For 2025, we might not win many games in 2024. That could be a pretty good pick.
Yeah, that could be
for a second rounder.
That could be high 30s.
Yeah, high 30s. like anywhere in the 30s. That's huge.
Yeah.
For a guy that might only give you, you know, one season and then he's looking to cash in again. So I don't know.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. It's a very like win now type of thing, which yeah. I think the thing that really strikes me about it though is I don't think the Texans needed to do this because they have two good wide receivers and two young guys in Tank Dell and Nico Collins. Like, they didn't have this gaping void at the wide receiver position
yeah.
like some other teams might. Like,
yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, and then they got Bobby Trees over there, who's probably going to be gone now. John Mechie, who he, you know, had,
oh, yeah,
had
Mechie.
Cancer, yeah. and that kind of derailed the start of his career, but he still has the younger player with high upside, I think, that they're a fan of. And so it is odd because then they also, you know, got Joe Mixon earlier this year. So they really are just.
They're going all in.
Going all in. And so.
Well, Joe Mixon, famously level headed, you know, like.
He's super
keen. You need a Joe Mixon to balance out your Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, he's definitely not a danger to society.
He's never menaced someone.
He's not a menace.
To put him in legal jeopardy, he menaced so hard.
Yeah, I just. How soon do we think Stephon Diggs is going to, like, when's the kumbaya phase going to end? As soon as, what, Nico Collins and Tank Dell have, like, a Nico Collins or Tank Dell game?
Are the schedules out yet? They're not.
No.
Are they?
No. We just know the opponents.
I'm going to say.
Texans are coming to U.S. Bank Stadium, though.
Yep. We have not had Stephon Diggs come back to Minnesota.
That could be.
Yet.
That could be the time. Because he's going to want to show out. And if that doesn't pan out, that could be when the wheels fall off.
Could be catastrophic.
Yeah. But that might be at the end of the year for all we know. So
true.
It could last a while.
True. But on the flip side, the Bills, this just shows how much they really were like, all right, we're done. We're done with him. We're done with the cryptic tweets. We're done with the behavior, the outbursts, the flip outs. They're eating a over $31 million dead cap hit.
Jeez.
Just to get him out. I mean, it's next season. So,
yeah.
Like, they're just $31 million they're not going to have just because they just couldn't. They couldn't deal with it. I guess the relationship was so fractured.
From a purely X's and O's standpoint, it's a catastrophic move from like a dollar standpoint, obviously. But now you look at the Bills football team. Who are you throwing the ball to?
Like right.
you have this
Khalil Shakir.
Yeah, you have a Lamborghini at quarterback with Josh Allen. And you have nobody to catch this ball. They have Dalton Kincaid at tight end, and they have Dawson Knox, who's serviceable. But like wide receivers, you just said Khalil Shakir is currently wide receiver one.
Pretty much.
They also signed like Curtis Samuel or somebody.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's a huge need. And the Bills are not a team that's going to be in a position to draft a Marvin Harrison or a Neighbors or probably Romo Dunze.
They have to hope that Brian Thomas Jr. is either. Because they're picking 28, so they have to hope that either he somehow falls, which I don't know if he will. They're probably gonna have to move up at least in the high 20s to try to get him, because I don't think they're gonna want to take Ladd McConkey, who I think actually could be pretty dang good.
Well,
at 28 though, that's tough.
Yeah, I mean, you got Brian Thomas Jr. right now is projected at 19.
Yeah,
so it's like that's not even close to where they are.
Yeah, so that's tough. You gotta have to move up. I do think it's interesting because it's like the Bills are now kind of they have no one really on that defense.
Well, yeah, they lost Poyer. They've lost
Trey White.
Micah Hyde's not re-signed, but I don't think he's somewhere else.
Yeah, Tre'Davious White's gone. Matt Milano. White, yeah. I mean, they have all these guys.
Matt Milano, that's crazy.
Like, they have all these guys that are just not there anymore.
Like, name a guy in the Bills' defense. Go.
DeMar Hamlin.
Damn it.
Have to play.
Let's play name two guys. Let's play name a guy who starts on the Bills' defense.
Greg Rousseau.
Actually, DeMar probably starts these
days. Greg Rousseau.
Epinesa.
Yeah, like he's on his last year, I think, of his rookie contract. So they have to make a decision on him. I think Von Miller is still there.
I don't think so. I thought he like retired, didn't he?
I don't think so. That's maybe Aaron.
You're mixing him up with your rival.
Yeah, Aaron Donald.
No, I know where my rival is at all times.
You keep tabs on him.
You don't know where he is right now. No, he's just down there menacing on the street, just looking up at
you.
Yeah,
he's waiting for me. But he doesn't have a key. He can't get in.
He doesn't need it yet.
Yeah, he could probably get through that door.
He could rip that door off its hinges.
That door's not that big.
Yeah, no. I know. I don't know.
The Diggs trade, I don't know. I think it's funny. But I've always like hated Stephon Diggs, to put it mildly. So it is
mildly.
I'm happy. Like the further we get away from this, and the more stuff he does, the closer you and I become in these scenarios.
I mean, like, I knew he was a head case. Like he's a psycho.
Yeah.
And he's just a very, very good football player, but he's also one that like expects to get 20 targets a game, which is just isn't.
And then doesn't do anything with him.
Yeah.
A la the back half of last season.
Exactly.
My God.
Yeah. He had Khalil Shakir out yardage him and out touchdown him and all these things. I'm fully aware of the Stephon Diggs fall.
Do you think they sent him down there to be closer to his brother?
I don't know. He
that
does.
That kind of seems weird.
He does get to play against the Cowboys too, and I think it's in Dallas. So he's got some interesting, you know.
That screams Sunday Night Football on NBC.
Yeah,
everybody strap in for that game.
Which, by the way, I mean, his brother is not. I don't know. He's good.
I feel like he could cook his brother.
Yeah, he absolutely could cook his brother. His brother gets cooked a lot. I think he just gets interceptions.
Interception merchant.
It's like the Marcus Peters, you know, effect where it's like he gets a lot of interceptions. You expect it. You think he's really like good. He's not a shutdown guy. Like he's going to take his chances. He'll get burned, but he'll get interceptions. And
right.
That's, I guess, if they want that. Cool. Very interesting look for time for the Bills. I don't know what Bill. I think Bills fans. I hear you. I acknowledge because we were in that situation like 4 or 5 years ago where it's like all the rumors are coming. It's like he's not going to be traded. The Bills just had to deal with it for like the last like couple years.
Right.
It's like we get it. Just go out and get your own Justin Jefferson. You could do it. You know, they grow on trees.
They could have if they would have kept the pick.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That's where it's tough. They could have had him.
It is safe
to say now that like the Vikings did win that trade. I mean, obviously, if we get an extension, that fully cements it. But even then, like, you know, the Bills, they got very, very high productive years from Stephon Diggs, all pro years and all that kind of stuff, pro bowler, you know. They didn't win that much in terms of deep playoff runs, but, like, I don't think they necessarily need to do that to justify the trade. Like, Josh Allen so much as a, like, development, too.
The trade got them in a position where they could have made noise. They could have been to a Super Bowl. It didn't end up working out that way, but I wouldn't call it a failure.
No.
And, I mean, as far as they could have gotten Justin Jefferson, like, yeah, that's true. They could but, have. You know, we don't know how long Justin Jefferson is even going to be on the Vikings, so.
Can you stop?
Yeah,
it's all you guys have, and I love poking at it. It's so fun.
I mean, he's going to be at least there this whole year. So.
Unless trade him or anything like that.
Yeah.
They're not.
I know
it's going to be a king's ransom.
You're going to trade him for another JJ in the draft.
Yeah, it's a mystery. It could be anything. It could be Justin Jefferson.
The last time we drafted a JJ, it went really well.
Yeah. So, Bills, I don't know. You already did the hardest part in getting a like one of the guys at quarterback. So now you just got to build around him again.
Figure out the rest. Seems pretty easy. Easy enough.
I mean, at least you do have a Josh Allen, but
yeah,
it's going to be rough.
And not like, and hopefully your coach doesn't make any comments about like Al-Qaeda again and like terrorism.
Yeah, I don't think we need it another. Like
maybe that's why Diggs needed to get out. He hated the 9/11 reference so much.
I don't know.
He just loves this country, man.
Yeah. All right. I think that was like kind of the only. I guess Rashee Rice got into a big car accident. That was kind of
drag racing. Yeah.
So here's I don't know if you guys saw. I tweeted about this and it got like 5 likes. So it really took off
big day.
By my standards. Yeah,
popping.
But I think I had an idea for a new rule. Mm-hmm. If you are an NFL player, a wide receiver on your rookie contract,
yeah.
You don't get to drive a car anymore.
Yeah, don't have a car.
You can't drive until you sign your next contract because it's always wide receivers and it's always the super young guys. Yeah. It's the Jordan Addisons, the Henry Ruggs, the Rashee Rice. Like these guys, and I don't blame them necessarily because you give a 21, 22-year-old kid like a Lamborghini and $50 million. You know, it's like,
well, Rice wasn't going to go home and try to save his dog, so that's not a good excuse.
Well, that
for
was
him.
Also definitely a lie.
No, it wasn't. No, 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 no. It wasn't. Addison loves his dog. He's just a great,
yeah,
he's a great pollen.
He's a great dog dad.
I think Henry Ruggs was going home to his dog.
No,
too.
No, he killed a dog.
Well, he was going to his dog, and he killed a different dog
and so, a human.
Yeah, and also yeah, that yeah,
not good.
People get mad about that, but I mean, hey, as long as Jordan Addison got super lucky and didn't kill someone, it's okay.
It was 3 a.m.
His dog.
Yeah. Who's out in 3 a.m?
I don't know. Maybe somebody with a dog. What time did Henry Ruggs get into
it? It wasn't 3 a.m.
It was the middle of the night. These guys are always out there. And this one was weird, though, because it was at like 6 p.m. with Rashee Rice.
Yeah, it was like during the day. The sun was still up.
No, it was like 6:20 p.m. Yeah, it was like... And there was a dash cam footage of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And when it happened, and you can see him get out with his boys and just like walk away.
Imagine just like walking
just, like,
off
bail.
The freeway.
Yeah.
I know. Like, yeah, you're just like
walking. Hey, that's Rashee Rice.
Like, holy shit, look at that. Wow.
As you're getting on the freeway.
Yeah.
Weird.
My favorite part was his lawyer's statement. Did you see his lawyer's statement?
No.
It was
he was like pleading sympathy. It's
so
like,
yeah, it was tweeted out by one of the aggregator accounts. It wasn't Dove, it was one of the other ones.
Yeah.
And they were like, a powerful statement by his attorney. And the statement was, don't judge this boy based on one incident when you judge him on his entire body of work. It's not fair. He kept repeating like his entire body of work. Oh, and God. I'm like, is the body of work not crashing most days? Like, what is the body of work that we're judging?
Being
like,
a normal human
think
being.
Think about all the days he didn't crash.
Yeah, well, like, you could say, like, if you go to that, like, you, that's a real, like, open that can of worms. Like, you could bring up, like, any, like, dictator in history.
Or, like
they had a big, long career.
Or, like, anyone convicted of, like, a murder and been like, well, they usually weren't murdering.
They
though.
Usually, yeah, they murdered less time than they, like, you
this,
know. It was
this is an above total. Average amount of murders yeah, for them in yeah. a day.
They spent majority of their days not murdering. Let's judge them based on that.
We're going to talk about the 1% of his day that was killing a guy and not the 99% that was not.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was weird. So, and they also found a bunch of, or not a bunch, but, like, a decent amount of weed in his car, I think. And, yeah.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah, it's interesting.
He did say, like, I'm taking full responsibility and accept all the consequences. And I'm like, okay, good. Like, I'm glad you're not being like, nah, it wasn't me. This is bullshit. Like, I wasn't driving. Like, he's...
I think he'll be fine because nobody got really hurt, I don't think.
No.
I think
no.
there were some minor injuries and a little bit of substance.
That's why you need a dash cam.
But also the fact that, like, he hid for, like, 24 hours. So
that was weird how they couldn't find him.
Well, they because he was either drunk or high, I bet. You know, like, that's kind of... So
but it was such a weird thing, like, are we even sure this is him? That doesn't look like him at all. And I'm just like, all right.
He's not even wearing shoulder pads.
Yeah. Did you take a note from Rashee Cam Rice? Sutton on how to hide?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that's insane, too. The Cam Sutton thing, fucking A.
What happened with that?
He, like, assaulted his girlfriend and
that's
then,
bad.
Like, fled. And,
fled.
Like, he was, like,
he was
wanted.
On the run for, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
He was, it was, like, cross-country.
And they
like,
found him.
Yeah,
right?
It was, like, it was bad. Like, he was just, like...
Went to Florida and hid.
He eventually then turned himself in. And, like, he was, obviously, when he was still missing, the Lions were like, yeah, we're releasing him. Like, I just, oh, man. You know. At least it wasn't Kirby Joseph.
These are off-season stories, though, where it's like there's three or four of these every off-season where guys get in trouble and then they, you know, they're missing for a minute and they pop up. It's
and then we had Travis Kelce just on vacation with Taylor Swift and people are like, look how fat he is, and he's like, hey guys,
look
like,
at his big hairy body.
He's like, guys, I don't know what you want me to do here.
Male
like,
anatomy.
Yeah, it's like he just won his fucking Super Bowl. Like, let him relax.
Well, and that's also a thing. Anytime they photograph these people like shirtless in context in like a situation like paparazzi style. There's always, like, it's all angles.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's all, like, you know, you look in the mirror and you can look really, you can be really happy with it. And then you, like, fold your stomach over and go, oh, look at that.
Well, and I'm also sorry, but, like, he's
everyone
like,
has skin.
He's, like, 250 pounds. Like, the only person who looks shredded at that is Aaron Donald. And, like, and he's, that's an anomaly.
Yeah.
Like, anyone of that size, guess what? Like, they're going to need, like, Patrick Mahomes, like he carries weight, but like that's good. Like quarterbacks need to have some padding. You don't want to be absolutely shredded because guess what? When you get hit, it's going to really hurt. You have nothing to block it. Like you don't have your own little padding.
Yeah, Justin Fields. But did you hear about Taylor Swift? The whole situation with her?
With her new album?
So you know how she did like the Taylor's version stuff?
Yeah.
That guy just bought the company that's putting out her next album.
Of course he did.
So we're going to get Taylor's Taylor's version of Taylor's version. Oh, she's going to triple release everything.
Oh, shit.
That's exactly what she wanted to do.
She's a businesswoman. Yeah.
I'm a businesswoman. Okay. I think we can get... That's all really up for news. It was kind of just bad news.
It's been ramping up to draft, I think. There's kind of a lull going on, except for one trade and then guys getting in trouble.
Yeah, we are firmly in the smokescreen season. Like, every day, it's a different article or a different so post annoying. Or a different headline saying teams are wanting to do this. This is their guy. This isn't their guy. This is what they're looking for. Because, like, it's all... You're trying to throw teams off, and like you want to make sure like people are now saying, oh, the Giants aren't actually looking to take a quarterback. They just want teams like the Broncos and the Vikings to think they are, so they jump in front of them so they get like Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers right in their lap. And it's just it's full of smoke screens. But with that, I want to talk about some prospects that we would love to have for either of for the Vikings, and then obviously Kevin can talk about with the Packers. So AJ, we talked a little bit before recording a little bit about what we're thinking for quarterbacks or people, you know, like, you know, you're not a huge this guy, that guy. Who are you, like, if you could have a wish list for the Vikings, we're currently sitting at 11-23. Are you firmly believing that we're going to be trying to trade up with that? Or do you think we're going to, you know, I don't know. What do you think?
I think so. I mean, you don't go and get two first round picks to not do that.
Right.
So... You know, in 11-23, that's good ammo to move up. Like, even if you're someone that's sitting in that, you know, top six range, that's still a good treat to fall back on, is having 11-23 versus just one pick, which would be, you know, maybe in like the mid-20s or whatever, or mid-10s, you know, I'm just kind of spitballing. But my number one guy on the wish list right now, Jaden Daniels. Okay. Like, you know, he's got all the intangibles. I really like a guy that has running ability, but also, you know, he is the... one quarterback out of all of them that's like the least like physically statured, like you know, he's kind of not whimsy, but you know, he's taking some
smaller
pretty
frame, yeah.
Yeah, small frame. He's taking some weird, very, very weird protruding elbow.
I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
When I saw that,
that was an AI picture.
When I saw that, I was like, that's how I know we're bored as hell right now. We're just spitballing about like, fucking his elbow.
God forgot how to make an elbow on one guy.
Whoops. And it's just throwing arm too. It's like, oh, ooh, well, maybe it's not important.
His agent should have paid like $2 million for them to just not publish that.
Yeah, please do not delete this photo from everything. This is not good. Okay, so you're a Jaden Daniels guy. Now let's go on the flip side. Who are you like absolutely not, never in a million years? And I'm strictly talking, I guess, like the top six. Mm. You know, the guys that we expect to see in the or could see in the first round. Maybe not all six of them go in the first round. Definitely four of them do. Probably five. Mm-hmm. Good chance at maybe all six. So not really including like Spencer Rattler. I'm thinking like, you know, obviously Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy, and then you have the Bo Nix and the Michael Penix. Mm-hmm. Who of those are you just like, I'm out. I don't want it.
I would say the guy out of all of them, to be quietly honest, is Drake May. Yeah. Like, you know, North Carolina, and it's kind of like the stigma of how North Carolina quarterbacks have come out and performed. Mm-hmm. You got Sam Howell and Mitch Trubisky to look back on in the last couple of years, and it's been, ooh, like, that's not a good track record. And, I mean, Drake May has played better than all of them. Mm-hmm. He's got better physical traits and intangibles than all of them. But I just feel like when you look at, like, kind of like the second tier of, like, Bo Nix and Michael Penix, like, they've been in college for a long time. Like, they've balled out. I know Penix didn't have a good showing in his last game, but he was beat up as hell. Bo Nix has been around for 5,000 years playing college football. But I feel like that like really helps, like having that experience. Like, he played in the SEC and then he went to Oregon, which is a really good Pac-12 team.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like he's got the experience, and if we plugged him in, that'd be super good. And he would have like an Alex Smith type of career. But and not that I would be pissed if we got Drake May. I think that'd be great, and maybe he would be good. But I think out of all of them, he's the guy that I'm least high on.
Okay. It's
big shoes to fill. Mitchell Trubisky, the current GOAT of UNC quarterbacks.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's tough. So that's a high bar to clear.
Yeah, it's very high. I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It's a bar you definitely don't want to double doink, though.
Got him.
Had to sneak that in there.
I know.
Well, so, and Adam, we're well documented on this program. Mm. Your Excluding Caleb Williams, your next favorite is Drake May.
Yeah.
So I'm you're sorry, on the other side. I know.
That's all good, man.
And
like,
you
that's
hate
the thing.
Jaden Daniels.
The last episode we did, I did mention about how Jaden Daniels, that concerns me. Just the frame is what scares me. And so I'm going to go through here a little bit. I kind of wrote up a little bit on some of these quarterbacks, just high-level stuff. So he's 6'4", 210 pounds. That's what he weighed in at. I have his NFL comp very similar to Robert Griffin III. I think he is a little bit better in terms of, you know, maybe a pure pocket passing than Robert Griffin III was coming out of college, but it's very similar trajectory with how they kind of like to play, and how also maybe they leave themselves open to some of the big shots. Like, there are some shots that he took in college that are just absolutely brutal. And while he didn't have serious, crazy injuries, I just, it's one of those things where it's like, he better learn really fast in the NFL. Otherwise, he's going to have a Robert Griffin III type of career where a serious injury happens and he has to recover from that and he's never really the same guy. And then it makes him hesitate when he's running and all that kind of stuff. So he is the most explosive quarterback prospect since Lamar Jackson, I think. And so you have obviously that upside, you know, crazy upside with the running ability. He has a quick release with his foot with the football, which is also really great to have. He doesn't really throw over the middle. Not saying that he can't. It's just something he didn't really do a whole lot. And that, you know, that's how you have to live in the NFL. You have to be able to throw over the middle. You know, the guys that are afraid to do that typically don't have that great of careers. Michael Penix is also kind of suffers a little bit. He really leans towards the sideline throws, which you can't really rely on that in the NFL. You have to be able to throw the middle and layer footballs like that. Like I said, though, very limitless ceiling. Like, if you get him in the right situation, he could be extremely, extremely productive. But the concerns there with the frame, the getting laid out in college, that worries me. And just also you have to take in the premium of where he has to be taken. You know, I think he's going to go number two to the Commanders just based on the reports that we're seeing there and how much of a fan that whole regime is, and just that they're definitely not trading. They are really not going to trade.
Name a time that Washington as a franchise has ruined a quarterback similar to RG3.
Yeah, that's the fun part.
Name one time
that's the fun
happened.
Part about that comp. And so I think, like, it's like, all right, don't let the sins of our past ruin another guy. And, like, I don't think we're going to have that. Like, Robert Griffin III was kind of forced to kind of keep playing through injuries. And,
yeah, that was
you know, Mike Shanahan was like, nope, get back out there, kid. You're fine. And kind of hurt him a little bit. Just like how Jeff Fisher hurt Sam Bradford. And, like, it just is what it is. So, for Drake May, for me, he's 6'4", 223. So, he's a perfect size, prototypical size of a quarterback. I just love him because he is, and when I think of the perfect quarterback for Kevin O'Connell's offense, it's Drake May, honestly. Like, he has the ability to throw at every single level. He can attack the middle of the field. He's able to scramble, get outside the pocket, create on his own. The footwork could be cleaned up a bit, but like I said, I'm not concerned about that with Kevin O'Connell being the head coach, just hiring Josh McCown, who, by the way, was his high school coach for Drake May. So
crazy connection.
That's an interesting little tidbit.
Ooh.
The accuracy can dip, but I think that, again, is something you can tweak and fine-tune. He has an absolute cannon on his shoulder, and no surprise, the NFL comp that you see over a lot of the time with him, it's Justin Herbert. But I think he has more of the downfield running ability that, like, maybe it's like similar to how Patrick Mahomes, where it's his – it kind of sneaks up on you. Like, you're not expecting him to be as mobile as he is.
Right.
But I think Drake May can do that. Whereas Justin Herbert is not immobile, but he can move, but he can't move. He has limitations, which I think Drake May does pass. So I personally would love that. I did get, and I told Age about this earlier, friend of the pod, Dustin Baker, got some insider knowledge from him.
Oh no.
He's got a source very close with the Vikings, down at TCO, and he sent me end of last week. And here's the three quotes here.
Okay.
Bang.
They love May.
Okay.
He's their guy.
Okay.
They have a deal in place, but won't announce so someone doesn't jump in front, which a lot of speculation is thinking. A handshake deal of some sort when they acquired that 23 probably was like that trade partner, whether that's the Patriots, whether that's the Cardinals, said, we'd love this pick or like this around here. If you can get something in that, we'd love that. And so that's what I'm firmly have been thinking that's what it's going to be or what happened there, why we have made that move. But it makes sense why we're not making the trade now, because you don't want to move up and then all of a sudden lose out on your guy. And you're like, well, shit, now we're here. What do we do? And then the last bit was on Jefferson, on the extension specifically. He won't sign now until he sees who QB is, which again confirms reports that we've seen. He wants to know who's going to be the quarterback. Like, duh.
There's a makes lot of sense. Writing on this.
He doesn't want anything to do with a full rebuild. So that, again, makes sense.
What does he think is happening right now?
Well, it's a matter
of rebuilds
can take as little as the Texans' time or as long as seemingly the Jets and the Browns have been trying to do
forever.
But
you guys were pretending you were in a rebuild last year.
It's a competitive rebuild.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
It does.
That's not a phrase that means anything.
It actually means a little bit of something.
What does it mean?
You can still be like challenging for the playoffs while also tweaking like your parts, and they're
But that's just every team every year is trying to make the playoffs.
But no one's really ever like said that before and like gone out and stood on that hill. And at first, like, you know, 2 years ago when they brought that up and they threw out that word a lot, I think a lot of us were kind of what does that mean?
Yeah, some of us are still on that train where we're like, that doesn't mean.
What does that
like,
mean?
Every team is trying to be competitive. Every team is trying to get better. Like, there's no such thing as an uncompetitive rebuild where you're like, fuck it, we're throwing it in.
No, it's like, not like it's not a matter of like intent or trying. It's actually doing it. The Vikings were in every single game last year. And like, while they didn't win, like, they had their season derailed by Kirk Cousins being going down. Yeah. But up until that point, we beat the Niners in primetime. Yep. And like
concussed Brock Purdy, but yes.
Sure. Okay. He still played.
That's his own fault.
He was doing really well until he got smoked.
And so was Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins played better than he was before he got concussed. Like we were still competitive, and that was without Justin Jefferson. So the point is, you can be competitive, but still be building up pieces. The whole defense has been overhauled. Basically, it's Harrison Smith is like the lone person that is still there. Brian Flores brought in. He's now acquiring all his talent. You know, Josh Metellus is turning out to be a really good football player. Cam Bynum had a really good season last year. I think Ivan Pace, unbelievable find. And I think you have like it's building up the foundational pieces while still being in every game that you're playing. And that's the whole point of a competitive rebuild, where it's like, hey, if things go your way, you can make it. You can make a run in the playoffs or get in the playoffs, and then there you go.
Right,
but we're doing all this in the hopes of like, all right, the next stage now is acquiring the franchise quarterback. We've never drafted a quarterback in the top 10. And so like, that's probably
crazy.
Leaning that we're going to be doing that for the first time.
Yeah.
And
I agree with that.
Obviously the team is fully aware of how big this draft is, especially how big this first pick is going to be. I mean, you have to hit the quarterback because GMs know you pretty much usually get one shot. Like if you especially trade up future assets or current, a lot of assets for one guy, and if he doesn't pan out, you're fired. And like, that makes sense. And I know like,
well, and here's the situation. Here's how I read that Justin Jefferson tidbit that we just read. He doesn't want to be a part of a full rebuild, right?
Yeah.
I guess in his mind, I mean, he has to be looped into these conversations about what they want to do.
Which he is. Like, they are involved with
that's
them.
What I'm saying. Yeah. He has to be involved in those. And so, assuming that he is in those conversations, he has to approve of the plan, you know, as executed or as yet to be executed. In which case, then he would resign. But if this dude doesn't work out, and you have to either roll up with a bad quarterback, a guy that you thought was going to be great that didn't work out, which happens all the time, or like the choices are that or draft a new one. I don't think he sticks around for that. I think he forces his way out of town.
If the guy is terrible, who you draft? Like, say, you know, we trade up.
Say you take Drake May and he stinks. Just whatever, you know. That I'm not saying I think that's going to happen, but it's always a crapshoot with quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's roughly 10% or something they say.
So you get like a shitty rookie year. Halfway through the second year, JJ's getting pissed. He starts to like make noise and stuff like that. He gets traded the following year.
Yeah.
On his mega deal that he signed. You guys are probably eating dead cap on that. You still don't have a quarterback. I just I don't know. I think that the term competitive rebuild is something that Kwesi invented to keep JJ happy, because JJ doesn't want to be a part of a rebuild. And you go, but what if we put another adjective in front of this rebuild? Does that make you happy, JJ?
No, and he was like, that's fine. I think it, like,
that,
he is,
I like that adjective.
Yeah, he said that just for him.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it means anything. Well, I think it's a rebuild, and I don't know. I'm curious.
It'll mean something when you're seeing our future quarterback hold the Lombardi in X amount of years.
Yeah. Oh, let's clip that. There we go.
You know, life is meaningless if you don't have any optimism there, Kevin. So
you're a Vikings fan. Yeah. Your whole culture is woe is us. So all of our sports teams have never won a thing.
How dare you disparage the Lynx? How dare you disparage the Minnesota Lynx? They were a dynasty.
All you guys talk about is being a Vikings fan is like getting kicked in the nuts every day.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But that's part of it.
You're sitting here going,
it doesn't stop us. It doesn't stop us from getting our hopes up come August. Like, that's
it's annoying.
Yeah. Do it all over again.
That's the cycle, man.
At least the Bears did it once. I don't know. You guys just, I can't deal with it.
Okay.
The Bears did it once in like the 80s. Congratulations.
Yeah, 1985.
Gross. Yeah.
Would have done it in 86, but a guy in the Packers injured their quarterback on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Correct. Yeah. What guy was that?
I don't remember, but he just picked up the quarterback and like threw him on the ground and like separated his shoulder.
It was the 80s. Well, that happened to Jay Cutler too for him.
Yeah.
Like they were in the NFC Championship game. Like they were like the one seed or the two seed, and Jay Cutler, then it was like his knee.
And they
completely went downhill for the Bears. Like it was rough.
Yeah, they tore his rotator cuff.
Yeah, that's brutal. All right, other quarterbacks. While we're on him here, Caleb Williams, obviously, he's gonna go one. He's gonna go one, especially now that Justin Fields is out of Chicago. Foregone conclusion. He's 6'1", 214. NFL comp. You see a lot of it, like Aaron Rodgers. He's basically like the love child of Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray. Like he has that scramble around schoolyard and the running the backfield that you see Kyler Murray do a lot of the time, but then he can make just a ridiculous amount of throws from weird platforms, just very creative, like we see with Patrick Mahomes doing. He thrives outside of structure. He's an artist with the football, like how he can layer it and how all the types of throws from all over the field hit every single level. The ceiling is obviously limitless. The questions about him, obviously, are how did he do against top tier defenses? He struggled a little bit. Now, is that a product of him with the lack of talent that maybe he had at USC, who had dog shit defenses where he had to put up like 40
and a dog shit offensive line?
Yeah, and like he had to put up like 40 a game, or at least feeling like he did. And I think that also got him into trouble, where he's like constantly looking for the home run ball. Drake May does this a little bit too, where he loves the kill shot, and I think Caleb does it differently, where he's looking for more of like the wow play, whereas Drake May is just like, I have this underneath shallow cross, but I see a fucker going deep down the sideline. I could hit that. Like he'll do that, whereas Caleb Williams just like, let me run around, create some bullshit, make a guy miss, and then find some crazy play. Like, and I think that can get in trouble.
We're getting into a generation too that's been playing more and more Madden
as
these quarterbacks get younger and younger, you know, relative to like us. Mm-hmm. Where I don't know if you guys remember Madden.
Oh yeah,
I mean you still play it, right?
Yeah, yeah. I still play every now and then.
I don't give them my money because the game sucks. But but like going for the kill shot is the best thing to do.
Well, of course.
Absolutely. Like, what are you going to run the ball like a pussy? Like,
yeah. What am I going to take a check down? Like, what is this bullshit?
Throw
like,
a screen?
Curl route?
Forget about punting. We don't have a punter.
Yeah.
or a kicker for that matter.
I'm not going for it on fourth and. Nope. I'm not punting on fourth and 10.
Yeah. The only time we line up for an extra point is when we're faking the extra point.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, he is like the first like Gen Z-er, and I put quotes around that. So,
you saying that because he paints his nails and
cries? Well, it's more of like he is
okay, boomer.
He is a loud personality. I'm not saying that's a negative, but you're gonna have to like, if you put your stake in him as your franchise, basically, what the Bears are gonna do, you have to be like, all right, yeah, this is our guy. We're gonna have to see him. You know, with the interesting attire, he's doing Vogue mag photo shoots, and he's painting his nail, the pink phone cases and all that kind of stuff. Doesn't matter as long as he's really good at football. But like, as soon as he's not, or if he's not good at football, then he just gets instantly clowned like Cam Newton with the crazy attire.
I was going to say, it's the Cam Newton effect, where like when you're doing really good, then it's awesome.
It's sweet.
And when you suck, it's hilarious.
And it's going to be double layered because he's on the Bears. Like, yeah. They already have, like, no patience. So.
Well, and it's kind of a funny clash, too, because not that any, like, NFL team is, like, extra soft, I would say, but, like, the Bears have this whole persona that we've talked about since 1985, trying to be the monsters of the Midway, and, oh, we're Chicago, it's bear weather.
Yeah.
And, like, a quarterback that was wearing a dress in a magazine. It's just, like, it's an interesting juxtaposition.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
But yeah, Caleb Williams, he's probably the best quarterback prospect since, I mean, Burrow was really highly rated, but like,
I mean, Trevor Lawrence was supposed to be awesome and he sucks.
I think maybe like Andrew Luck probably, like, I feel like Trevor Lawrence, we did see that, but
he's still good. The Jags are just bad.
People were talking about Trevor Lawrence as a can't miss prospect. I went on the record. I think Trevor Lawrence is mid.
He's got the same stats as
Gardner Minshew so far in his career.
Who does he have to throw the ball to? Zay Jones?
Yeah. I mean, Kelvin Ridley was good for like a week.
Yeah.
Exactly, a week. And then he went to the Titans for a gazillion dollars.
Yeah, but
now he has Gabe Davis.
Who's Gardner Minshew been throwing to? Like last year, they had like the same stats. And like Gardner Minshew's got Michael Pittman and no one. Like,
I just feel like when you have that, obviously the expectations are significant. Like if he doesn't go for 4,030 touchdowns or more every season,
yeah,
you call him mid. Whereas Gardner, it's like the Case Keenum. Like he had, he had 24 touchdowns.
Right.
Nice. That's not good.
Not that many touchdowns.
Like exactly. But everyone, it's the rose tinted glasses you put over it. He's the fun personality. I wear jorts. Like I wear cut off jorts.
No, but I'm not saying Gardner's good. I'm saying
that, also Michael saying Pittman is better bad. Than any wide receiver on the Jags.
It's true.
I mean, it's true. I guess, but yeah. He's really skinny.
I think so too.
Also,
Jonathan Taylor, who's pretty good.
True. That definitely helps.
Yeah, ETNs.
Well, they had Jonathan Taylor for like 8 weeks of the season last season.
Yeah, Zach Moss wasn't
there for the whole time.
He was taking his place. He was
the Zach Moss era. That's true.
Yeah. All right. Then kind of going it down the, known as like the QB4 in this class, I think, for most people. We've seen some things where maybe the Commanders like J.J. McCarthy. Maybe the Patriots like J.J. McCarthy.
You like J.J. McCarthy, don't you, Squid?
I like J.J. McCarthy. Yeah. Of the attainable, actual possible quarterbacks, so not including Caleb Williams, I would have him as my number two choice. I think the combine, the size thing was my biggest concern, I think, with him. Very similar to how Jaden Daniels. Because like when you watch him, like he looks like he's 190 pounds. That doesn't look great.
He'll grow.
Right.
He's young.
6'3", 219. Cool. I'm cool with that. Like he's going to pack on a couple more pounds. He'll be over that 220 mark. That's totally fine. I can live with that. NFL comp, and I think this is why a lot of Vikings fans might be okay with him, is he's like a supercharged Kirk Cousins. Like he's on Kirk like on 1.5 speed, I feel like. Because he has that. The anticipation, the throws, the accuracy, he has more velocity than you expect. I mean, he threw 61 mile an hour, like just 1 mile under Joe Milton. That was a big thing. It's like, holy shit.
Counterpoint, he kind of looks like Zach Wilson.
And he had a throw like Zach Wilson at the combine.
Yeah.
Or at his pro day.
Yeah. I don't put any stock into pro days. Like they're
It doesn't
matter. Like it's more of like the measurable stuff that you kind of are interested in, like the medicals, all that kind of stuff. And obviously watching game tape. For those that have issues with his production or lack thereof, how many times was Michigan losing in the second half when he was there? Like never. It happened like twice in his whole career. He was losing in the fourth quarter, I think maybe once. Like it's one of those things where he didn't have to throw a whole lot. But when he did have to, he was really fucking good, especially on third downs. He was really good. If you think back to the playoff, like the college football playoff last year, he had to make a handful of unbelievable conversions on third down, late in the downs, or way behind the sticks against supposedly the other best competition in the country. So I'm not necessarily concerned about the lack of gaudy numbers that we didn't see from J.J. McCarthy, just because the situation they never threw it. They didn't need to throw it in the second half. So you're playing with 30 minutes of game time instead of 60. So I don't know.
What about when he was meditating before the game? Does that bother you?
Did any of the Aaron Rodgers stuff bother you? Like when he was on your team?
No, but like he was proven good. He didn't do that stuff till after we knew he was good.
You have been so negative on J.J. McCarthy. Like, it's wild. Like, you were like, I hope the Vikings take J.J. I really, really hope they do.
I would rather you guys take him than any of the top three guys.
It's just wild that, like, you're so confident that he's going to suck.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Because nothing matters. And if he doesn't suck, I can just like never disappear. Acknowledge that. Yeah, yeah, it's great.
You're right. It's never going to be recorded.
No, it's never going to live. It's never going to live on Spotify forever. What are you talking about?
Never will be possibly made clips of and all that kind of stuff. Nah,
so that's a lot of work, it sounds like, to make a clip of that. You know, it's
you'd be amazed.
I just how bank on your laziness. Would be. Not call me that my shit.
I think the age thing, like he is 21 years old. That is 3 years younger than Bo Nix and almost Michael Penix. I think Michael Penix is 23, going to be 24 by the time the season starts. So he has a very, very high upside. Like he's a guy that you can really develop if you want. And again, works very nicely in a Kevin O'Connell offense. Mm-hmm. Like I said, underrated arm talent, a lot stronger than people give him credit for.
What is Kevin O'Connell's background in quarterback whispering?
He played quarterback. That's one.
Okay,
in the
but
NFL.
Like, that doesn't mean...
Was on the Patriots.
Was on the Patriots with Tom Brady for a really long time.
Okay, so he was near Tom Brady. He played the position.
At the pro level, which is really good.
Well, but did he like start at the pro level?
Last I checked, Nick Mullins was actually like pretty dang productive when he had to jump
slinging
in.
No,
like,
I'm just
the
curious.
Offense still without,
because it seems like there's a baked in assumption here that like the Kevin O'Connell, you know, effect on a rookie quarterback is going to be good, and I'm not saying that I know it's not. I'm just curious if there's anything.
You make a good point
that up.
Like there isn't like, really anything to like.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. Like,
I mean, he's an offensive mind. Like,
I mean, you can the say Rams you stuff. Can say he gave like Kirk Cousins' best years were when he was with him. Like,
yeah,
you know, like
but Brett Favre's best year was as a Vikings. Maybe it's just a Vikings thing. You know, maybe you guys are just
really
inspiring
good
these old white guys. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I don't know. I think Kevin O'Connell, he is. Been praised as a communicator from like people on the team. Like he's a player's coach. Like players really very much like being underneath him and like being coached.
Yeah,
by him,
it could very well be a thing. I was just curious if he had like a history before his head coaching job.
I think it just it just helps that he's a quarterback that has been at the highest level and been around some obviously some very very talented players. So I think that helps. I mean, it's just.
Some players
that
might have been washed. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Anti-Tom Brady's coming out again.
Tom Brady, Stafford.
Yeah.
RG3.
Yeah.
Jared Goff.
He's been around a lot of...
Jared Goff.
Why is that, you know... Was he around Jared Goff? Yeah, I guess
he would have been, right? He was on the Rams.
Yeah. Yeah. But Jared Goff was good on the Rams.
Eh. Yeah.
So...
Wasn't good enough to win a Super Bowl.
Well, that whole offense was pretty bad. They scored like 9 points.
That Super Bowl sucked. That
yeah,
was
that,
so
that
bad.
Super Bowl was
Brian
miserable.
Flores, baby.
I hated that.
All right, and then the last two, Bo Nix and Michael Penix. They kind of, I feel like they flip-flop a little bit for me on where they are at 5 or 6. I think they're probably both like a 5A, 5B. Like they're just, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's just, mm-hmm. I think that, you know, Bo Nix, he's 6'2", 214. NFL comp, I like that you said Alex Smith because that's who I have for him. I think he plays, you know, a very similar kind of game to Alex Smith. Again, more elusive, more mobile than people give him credit for or than expect him to be.
So you guys get him, and then in a while you get Patrick Mahomes to replace him.
I don't want us to stick at 11, and, you know, I have seen mocks where it's like, oh, we have Dallas Turner or Byron Murphy or, you know, any of the, Byron Murphy. No, it is Byron Murphy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Like, we'd have two Byron Murphys. But and then taking like a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix at 23, I don't want to do that. I'm not saying the world would be ending if we did that. I'm not going to be like, this is unbelievable. This sucks. Like, I could convince myself on any of these guys, like, if I needed to, but I don't know. I don't want to have to go down that road. But I think Bo Nix, he's highly intelligent, been very, very experienced as a prospect, been around SEC competition at Oregon in a phenomenal system to be at.
For what it's worth, I did show Jalen pictures of all of the quarterback prospects.
And she likes Bo Nix.
She liked Bo Nix. She disliked him the least. She was very not happy with everyone's headshots. But Bo Nix was where we did land eventually, so that is her vote.
All right, fair enough.
He does look too frat boy-y, though, for her. She wasn't a fan of that.
He does. Yeah. He's got solid arm talent. He does lack a little bit with the outside the number throws. The arm strength does kind of start to wane as further down the field you go, which can be tough. He's a great rhythm passer. You know, you kind of put him in a system where you tell him, here's where you should go with the football. It's great. He can make all of those intermediate to close throws, and then the deep balls with the right anticipation and the right, like, this is where you're going with it. He can time it up and hit it. He's really good at avoiding sacks. He can move down the field if needs to be. I kind of wish he would be a little bit more daring with his throws and decision making. He kind of always takes the safe option, which, as someone going off of Kirk Cousins, like, that was his biggest knock. Like, I don't necessarily want to do that again. Like, you kind of want to zag when everyone's zigging, you know, or when you've zigged for so long. So I think that concerns
great
me
analogy.
There. Thank you. age is a concern. He is old. I mean, he's going to be considered an old prospect. And it's also, like I said, he was in a very, very quarterback-friendly class. So Bo Nix is – he doesn't move the needle for me enough. So I think that's kind of where I'm at with him. I don't know.
I would agree with that 100%.
I hope you take him. I hope you have to cope with it.
I will. I'll find my way to cope. I mean, I will yeah. talk myself into it. And then Michael Penix for me is – I watched him – like, you just look back at the semifinal game and the championship game, and that's where you're going to get the Jekyll and Hyde. And, like, he looks so good in the semifinal. Like, he's making all these ridiculous throws, carving up the Texas defense. And then when he goes against Michigan, you're like, oh, okay, now I can kind of see why he might have some limitations. He reminds me very much like a southpaw Geno Smith or Sam Bradford. I think, like, he can make these throws, but I don't love, like, if you watch him, he's so all upper body. He's throwing with his arms so much, and he's a really, really strong arm, but he doesn't ever really use his legs because I'm like, I don't know if it's because of the knee injuries he's had in college where it's kind of like, I don't want to step into it too much because I don't want to open myself up to that. So he kind of like, almost like a little jump shot. And I don't know. That worries me. He does love letting it fly. He relies on those outside the numbers throws. So pretty much opposite of Bo Nix. He's really good at reading defenses, ability to process. He doesn't have to just be like, here's where you go with the football. He can actually progress through a play. He's smart with the football, doesn't really turn it over.
His jersey was purple,
so yeah. You know, he looks good in purple.
I maintain that was like 40% of the hype, because Vikings Twitter after that Texas game was lighting up about Michael Penix. Yeah.
Well, there is,
and like, he looked great, but like, I think that there was a significant chunk of that was like, and he was wearing purple when he did it.
Yeah, there's a strong contingent of Vikings fans that are like fully on like Penix. It's crazy. It's like they're like obsessive about it. It's almost like how like LIV Golf fans are always needing to talk about LIV Golf and how great it is. That's like what Michael Penix people are doing. Like, every day I go on Twitter and I just see some form of like, any talk about other prospects, you have like people jumping in being like, what about Penix? How come, like, Penix can do all that? Like, it's a weird obsession.
Penix is also one letter away from penis.
Yeah, that's
which
tough.
Which is going to be
that's yeah.
tough. Yeah, it's going to be a whole
I've
thing.
I've already
if
made
that
a
happens.
Couple.
Yeah.
Tough. Michael Penis Jr.
Yeah. But yeah, like with Jaden Daniels, he doesn't really attack the middle of the field that much. So that's not always great because that's what we do. Like Kevin O'Connell's offense, you have a lot of in-breaking routes. I mean, JJ, that's where he, a lot of the time, gets his bread and butter, where he's carving up the middle of the field, 10, 15, 20 yards downfield. And when you don't have someone that's liking to do that, or they really have a lot of tape of them doing that, it's like, how will they adjust? I don't know. And then also him being a lefty is you do have to change your scheme and how play designs are. And it makes Darisaw not a blindside tackle anymore. And that's tough.
He's like Tua.
Yeah, and like I don't know. I think like he'll probably go. I could see him going to like maybe the Raiders, the Seahawks, and sitting for a year or two or maybe or whatever. I mean, that's the thing. He's older too. So like, how long can he really sit? How long do you want him to sit?
Right.
Now, Joe Burrow was older, but I think him starting right away, that kind of, you know, relinquished that concern. Penix is, I don't know if he's necessarily going to start right away. He probably is one of the more ready to go right now just because he's so seasoned. Mm-hmm. Like, him and Bo Nix have played a lot of football. They got a lot of snaps and throws underneath them, and they can kind of jump in, learn a playbook, and I think that will help. The injury history, that concerns me, even though the medical is checked out.
Are you advocating for a strategy that is not draft a guy and then don't have him play football for 4 years?
I feel like there's a middle ground there. No. I feel like it's okay to let a guy sit and marinate.
There's no middle ground. It has to be exactly four.
Yeah.
I say it was three, wasn't it?
It's three full years.
Yeah, three.
Yeah. Because he got a contract when he was eligible in his fourth year.
Yeah.
And then now he's up. He's going to
do like a fifth year. It's a whole decision to make. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, and like him not wowing in the Senior Bowl or Bo Nix, that also was like, I was expecting one of them to at least ball out a little bit. We just didn't really see that. So I don't know. That's kind of how I am with the quarterbacks. I don't really want to breathe life into the Spencer Rattler.
Let's go.
6 feet, 211 pounds. He's like Baker Mayfield out here. Like I feel like the numbers are not good enough. He's 23, going to be 24, 19 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. I don't know. We got ran out of Norman by Caleb Williams, and then he went to South Carolina and just kind of didn't do a lot. He does make some of these throws that you're like, holy shit, that's sweet. And then you're like, oh, then he does a whole bunch of other bad throws. And I'm like, well, that's kind of why he's, I don't know. He was like the guy that was supposed to be like Caleb Williams.
Yeah,
like,
he had hot steam for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Asia, any other thoughts on the quarterbacks? I know you. How would you? So I guess of the six, do you have an order that you can kind of put them in? Obviously, I mean, I guess we'll do five. We'll exclude Caleb Williams just because.
We'll exclude Caleb Williams. I would probably put Daniels one.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go McCarthy two, May three, and then probably Nix and Penix.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not too far off. I think then just obviously flopping May.
And I'd be totally cool with McCarthy. Just the one thing, and like you, I'm glad you kind of cleared it up. Him having to prove himself on third down and in big games, like we didn't really see too much. So it's not like you're going to be able to come to the NFL, especially with this version of the Vikings offense where, you know, he's going to be asked to do a little bit more. You can't really sit on your hands and knees. Like we're not going to have a crazy good run game. Like you're going to have to throw the ball probably 30, 35 times a game to get it done. So,
yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I think that I just want to trade. I mean, we're not going to get one until the day, like draft day. That's just how it's going to be, but it's going to be exciting. Like we're going to see the first pick.
Content.
We're going to see the first pick, Caleb Williams. And then obviously what Washington does at two, is going to be the real interesting.
That's going to be a very nerve wracking 20 minutes.
I know. I just don't want to have a camera pointed at me or a phone pointed at me, and it's going to be recording, and it's either going to be really happy that they take like Daniels. Obviously you'll be sad, but they'll take Daniels. I'll be very happy. If they took May, I'll be like devastated. And then I'll be like, well, I guess JJ McCarthy. And if we leave night one without that, I'll be like, well, that's a.
It'll be in shambles.
This didn't go the way I wanted it to. Yeah. But well.
The draft party at US Bank Stadium is going to be lit this year. It's going to be a little bit more animosity and a little bit more juice that something's actually going to happen.
Well, and like that's the thing too, because like there are like. Fans are so adamant about who they want, who they don't want. So you just know there's going to be people that are going to be so pissed.
Yeah.
And like, that's where I don't get like, that's dumb to do for me because it's like, okay, I feel like you're setting yourself up to be pissed because like, you know, I don't know.
Get who you wanted based off of the YouTube highlights that you watch.
Yeah. Like okay. Yeah. And that's the crazy thing. It's not like we're sitting there like, we're not like, fucking Benkert watching highlights and being like, let me do my analysis. It's like you're watching only good plays. Like this isn't like an all 22.
This
here.
Is what I think based off a 10-minute YouTube video. Okay, backup funny. Quarterback, shut up.
I will not tolerate any Kurt slander here. He was a Packer at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He was there.
Yes.
He was there.
No
so,
longer.
So was what's his name?
You gotta be more specific. There's a lot of guys.
Matt Flynn, is that his name?
Oh, Matt Flynn, yeah.
Yeah, he had that one game. Game and got a big contract
out and got
for it.
Massive contract.
He got a bag for that one.
Yeah, and then who was the one on the Bills? Who was your backup before? He was like number 8.
Oh, shoot. Our backup quarterback?
Yeah. He was like a backup.
He's on the Bills now?
No, not the Lions. He was on the Lions for a little bit.
I don't remember.
Rodgers was a big fan of him. Tim Boyle.
Oh, Boyle. Yeah, the Boylinator.
Tim Boyle. Hick. Yeah, that's gross. Now you got Sean Clifford.
Is he
still on the team?
Yeah, he's still on the team. He did some good kneel downs this last year.
He did the Kurt Benkert.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's what they call it.
The Kurt Benkert. Nice. Got Kurt twice in his name.
All right. Can we touch? I have two things.
Yeah.
So I want to talk briefly about where I'm at with the Packers in the draft, because it's always a saga. First, we have some breaking news. A judge has ordered Chiefsaholic. Chief Superfan, who, if you'll remember, robbed several banks.
Yeah.
A judge has ordered Chiefsaholic to pay the bank teller he held at gunpoint $10.8 million.
Jesus. Oh, man. Oh, my gosh.
So Chiefsaholic is having some legal troubles.
Wow.
From jail, where he is. And, yeah, I got that. I was
would
like,
you guys,
fuck.
If you knew you were going to get paid $10.8 mil, would you get a gun pointed at you?
I mean, if I knew he wouldn't shoot me.
Yeah, if I knew he wouldn't pull the trigger, then yeah.
Like, a guy in a fucking wolf mask. Give me all your money.
Yeah. So the ESPN notification is even funnier because it says, judge orders Xavier Babudar, a.k.a. Chiefsaholic. I'm like, because I started reading, I'm like, who the fuck?
I thought he was like a white guy.
I don't know, man. That's his name. Maybe he changed it. Wow. Maybe he's got a fun name now. I don't know.
They can't convict me if I change my name. I'm a new man.
That was the other guy.
Okay.
All right. And then so let's get to the Packers in the draft. Mm-hmm. This isn't going to be nearly as in-depth because we're not looking for a quarterback. Unlike you sorry sons of bitches, I have my Hall of Fame quarterback of the future. And Jordan Love, and we're very happy with that.
Because he had a good back half of the year, not a good front half. So they're like, let's ignore the front half.
Back two-thirds. Okay. Made the playoffs.
All right.
So let's see. The Packers, here is my hope and dream for the Packers. Most years, it's draft a top-end wide receiver that I get really excited about, a la Rashad Bateman. Rest in peace.
He's not dead. He's just not on the Packers.
He's effectively dead. His career's been ruined.
Nah, Rashad Bateman, breakout Baltimore season coming. Ravens. It's coming.
They ruined him.
Breakout.
That's what every fantasy analyst says.
1,200 yards.
He would have been a superstar in the Packers, I maintain. But anyway, so my goal with this draft, I've realized, is I would like an impact player now. And that sounds dumb because that's what you always want, right? But the Packers have this habit of drafting guys that turn out fine to good at some point. Like the Rashawn Garys of the world, where Rashawn Gary is a very good pass rusher now.
Mm-hmm.
He was not for the first like 2 years of his career. Yeah. Last season we draft Lucas Van Ness. He was okay in what we saw. He didn't get a ton of snaps. He wasn't an impact player. So when I kind of keep that in mind, when I look at who's available in the kind of the mid-20s where the Packers are right now, I don't expect him to move up. We're looking at either an offensive tackle or Cooper DeJean. Those are the two options, I think. If Cooper's there, I would take him. I think that he kind of reminds me of the draft with Kyle Hamilton. Everyone was talking about, oh, is this guy really this good? Is he worthy of kind of being this high up as a safety? Typically, that's not a position that gets a ton of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that most of the time, that's the right move. But when you have some guys, I think safety is a lot of above the shoulders type of stuff. It's feel, it's ability to kind of read the offense and like sense as things are happening.
Yeah.
And it seems like Cooper DeJean has that. And I'd be very, very excited. He also, what Packer fans do, I don't know if you guys, do the Vikings care about like the relative athletic score, the RAS?
Yeah.
Okay. Because Goot fucking loves the Raz. He will not draft someone that's like less than a 9 in out of 10.
Eric Stokes.
I think Stokes might even, I don't know. Now I have to Google.
Well,
that.
He was up there. No, he was up. I'm saying, but
oh yeah, because he was
Christian
fast.
Watson.
Yeah, yeah, fast. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Watson. It's like all the freak athlete type people. I mean,
it's like what the Raiders.
Rashawn Gary was the same receivers. Way. Yeah. Yeah, we've already talked about Henry Ruggs once on this program.
I'm talking about like Darius, like Hayward Bay. Oh. Like, they loved him. He was fast.
So, I mean, he loves the Raz. Cooper DeJean just did his pro day, and they kind of equated all of his numbers into that. He's got like a 9.98 out of 10 or something like that.
Oh, boy.
So, if he's available, I think that is a realistic possibility as far as what the team would do.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not around at that spot, there are a duo of you have Graham Barton and you have Tyler Guyton. Guyton's a tackle. Barton's kind of, he's listed as like an interior or a tackle type of guy. Mm. Both those dudes are above a 9.9 RAS. And I think in a post David Bakhtiari world that we have been in, even though he's been on the team for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But we are definitely in that world now. They need to kind of shore up the left tackle position.
Is he on a team?
No.
Oh.
No. Oof. I mean, would you sign?
No, absolutely not.
Could he pass a physical? We're not sure. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's not, yeah. And originally, we're talking about, you know, DBs and safeties. I was very excited about potentially getting Tyler Newbin. I think his RAS was like a 4.
Yeah, not good.
It was really bad. And people were also stoked about the dude, what's his name, from Miami, Cameron Kitchens. Mm-hmm. And he also got like a sub 5.
Yeah, we're definitely not going to see a first round safety. If we do, it's going to be a big old reach, I would think.
I think, but Cooper is kind of a weird. He's like a corner safety hybrid type of dude.
I hope he stays at corner.
I mean, and it would be up to the Packers what they do. They picked up a safety this year, so yeah. It's like we have that position somewhat addressed, but there's still question marks.
That would be the most Packers pick ever if they drafted like the best
the white
cornerback
DB, yeah.
Safety of all time.
Like we keep drafting the non-white DBs, and they keep being Kevin King.
It's fine, and I could truly hate Cooper DeJean then for
he'd be hateable. Yeah,
like from Iowa, so you have that, and who hates Iowa? We hate Iowa.
Well,
he goes to the Packers, and I'm like, oh god,
you have all that stuff with Cooper DeJean. I mean, Graham Barton's from Duke. That's hateable.
Yeah, don't have to hate Devondre Campbell now. And so, like, that's nice.
Is he on a team yet?
I don't think so.
But he tweeted up a storm. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
He was tearing, like, he was telling stories about, like, they had meetings where they, like, were begging Matt LaFleur to, like, do something different on defense because Joe Barry is such an incompetent moron.
Yeah.
That was good to hear.
He's gone now, isn't he?
Campbell? Yeah.
No, Joe Barry.
Joe Barry's also gone. Yes. Joe Barry's gone. He can't probably hurt me. He could hurt me.
It wasn't a good look for Matty, though.
It's like, I don't know.
He's just too loyal to his guys.
Yeah.
And then finally, obviously, you fired him, but like.
But it's okay, because the new guy we hired is like best friends with his brother, so I'm sure that's going to.
Oh, you know, yeah,
if
sure.
It doesn't go well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not going to stick around forever.
Hire your friends
permanent office.
Yeah. Shame on you.
Nepotism.
Yeah.
Nepotism doesn't ever come back to you.
No, right? Just ask Bill Belichick.
That doesn't happen in the NFL. There's no nepotism in the NFL. What do you mean?
There's no issue with that, right?
Don't ask about our offensive coordinator. Don't ask who his dad is. Don't ask him what he had to drink that day either. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Hey, he's getting suspended for like 3 weeks in the middle of the off season.
Happening right now. Like, yeah, I think he's
currently suspended.
Yeah, he's currently suspended. I think he'll be back by like next week.
Just it's firm but fair to suspend him in the middle of fucking April.
Yeah, man. It's not 3 games. It's just, you know.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
Just a little time off.
Yeah.
Take a little PTO.
If he drinks and drives during the season, then he'll actually lose some games, maybe, but probably not. We'll wait until afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, good old Wes. The fact that the Vikings did the day of the celebration, they did the keg stand celebration like after they get the interception.
Yeah.
Crazy optics.
Wild.
Wasn't that the Vegas game?
I think so, yeah. Because that was Metellus was doing, he was getting the keg stands. Like, oh my gosh.
Wait, is that why you guys only scored 3 points that week? Is because the offensive coordinator was compromised?
No, I think it was because Josh Dobbs was like, wait, I have to learn a playbook? Fuck. Yeah, I don't know what this means.
Without my best wide receiver?
Yeah.
I just threw a hospital ball to?
Josh Dobbs also not on a team currently. I don't think. Or is he?
He's on the 49ers.
Oh, yeah, he's on the 49ers. Right.
Yeah, Moon Man on the
That's lovely.
49ers.
I like it. We did a little swap. We got Darnold, they get Dobbs.
What a swap.
Great. Yeah, it's what a swap.
That's gross for everyone.
Yeah. Okay, any other players? So those are the ones you're getting your hopes up for to get crushed?
I mean, yeah, I would like Tyler Newbin on the Packers. I don't think it's going to happen with that RAS.
Yeah.
Besides that, no. I mean, I've been looking at like some running backs too in the later rounds type of thing because that is a position that we fucking
How
need
come?
Now.
Why? What happened?
Shut up. Sick of you.
Aaron Jones is still on the team, right?
I had to go through. I have like a bunch of pictures of the Packers that rotate through my wallpaper on my computer at work. And I had to go through, and I just made a subfolder called Jail, and I had to put all the Aaron Jones pictures in it.
Straight to jail.
Right to jail. It was very sad. But no, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they were to use, you know, kind of a day two pick on a running back and try and set up the future there, because much as, you know, we love A.J. Dillon and he loves Door County, he is not the guy.
No.
He runs like he is stuck in quicksand.
Yeah, he runs like he's had a lot of cheese curds.
He runs like his quads are really holding him down. Like
his quads are too heavy.
They're hurting him more than they're helping
him
now.
His quads are so big he can't lift his quads.
He's like, oh, no, my quads. Son of a bitch.
Too much quad, not enough calf.
This mock draft I pulled up from The Ringer, done by Danny Kelly, he has Cooper DeJean going to the Packers at 25.
It's becoming a trendy pick, which it makes me nervous.
And then Graham Barton's at 26.
Right, yeah, if we can get like one of those three guys I listed off, I'll be happy with that. Mm. But I don't know. This really does feel like a time where Cooper DeJean is going to be there and Goot's going to go, nah, and fucking trade back. That feels like a thing that would happen.
But what if I get a six rounder?
Yeah.
Like, just imagine.
There's an more, extra one.
Yeah, more guys with a 9.99 RAS score in the second round.
It's the Rick Spielman effect, the slick Rick. He's like, I got so many seventh round picks. God, I might package these for a fifth. It's great.
What a rush.
Yeah.
Getting horny over UDFAs.
Yeah. Fucking A. Unless their name is Ivan Pace, I love it. But otherwise, it's like, well, maybe not.
Yeah. Take a pass on that one.
I did see. Did you see Rick Spielman where he's now on the 33rd team or whatever?
Yeah, like
He, which by the way, they are so anti Minnesota. It's wild. They have so many things where they're just like, I feel like it's getting on purpose now at this point. But Rick Spielman was a quoted on it, said like he couldn't believe that the Vikings moved off of Kirk Cousins. And I was like, wow, shocker. The ex GM that. Signed that brought Kirk Cousins is really upset that they moved off of the guy that brought in that didn't do what, you know.
Didn't work. One playoff game.
I'm glad that you guys don't even think about Rick Spielman anymore. It's clear to me that he's just so far beyond your...
This is the first time I've mentioned like Rick Spielman in this light on this podcast.
We haven't been in this room in a month. What are you talking
about? I'm talking about like in like past episodes. I don't really talk about him.
No, you talk about Rick Spielman when he got fired. Every episode. Okay. At least once.
You never talk about Joe Barry at all.
No, but that's different. He was on the team until like 2 months ago.
Yeah, I haven't talked about Rick Spielman like ever.
No, Rick Spielman is your Aaron Donald.
No,
you think Rick Spielman's a punk bitch?
He's not. I played football with his kids. Like, no, he's a nice guy. I don't know.
No, you don't believe that. Your heart's not in it.
He got fired because he got a little too squirrely at the end there with his trades in the draft. He just like, I gotta trade my picks. I need all the day threes.
Yeah, and him like, trading out of the Kyle Hamilton shit. Never mind. Wrong regime.
That was crazy.
Him trying to be too. Suck, you're right.
Oh, stop.
Lewis Cine. No, we'll yeah, that's what we'll see. But
we've seen.
Pun intended. Scene, but we actually.
We've seen him broke his
problem.
Leg.
Yeah, that's.
We've seen it. That was bad.
But I mean, but the thing is, though, okay, who are you going to replace? You remove, like, Josh Metellus was unbelievable last year. Cam Bynum had a very good season last year. Harrison Smith, you're not going to replace. Where else can he play? So it's like, I don't know. I think when Harrison Smith is. He's obviously back for one more year because he wants to retire a Viking at least one more year. So I think that obviously opens the door. But yeah, Lewis Cine for Kyle Hamilton, that, you know, is not looking great at the moment.
Looks awful.
But I think the other picks, like, I don't know. Well, obviously all the weight lies on this draft.
So
like,
we got
that's
crazy.
It's kind of the
make or break.
Pretty much. Lewis Cine, Andrew Booth. Ed Ingram, Brian Asamoah, are those guys good? I don't know them well enough.
Ingram is serviceable.
Booth, Andrew Booth, when Brian Flores got there, actually like started to play. Like that's why he was drafted in the second round. So again, it's a wide open spot for him. Like he can really make a role for himself, but he obviously has to do it on the field. Ed Ingram had a really bad rookie year, but he was actually. Like, pretty serviceable and not bad last year.
How about Jaren Hall? Was he good?
Well, he had like one and a half opportunities.
I saw him in person. He looked great. I think you guys are. Yeah. I think you guys got it already. You don't even need a quarterback.
The super
soaker. We should definitely keep putting our eggs in the basket on fifth round draft picks.
Yeah,
QBs.
Yeah,
for like Mormons.
It. Yeah, that's where it's tough. That's where it's not great. I think Jaren Hall is a. He's a fine young man, but I don't necessarily want to be my franchise quarterback now, knowing that
100% agree.
We could be having like there any of the guys in this draft. I'm like, that's who I want more. Like, yeah, pretty much. So
hot take.
Yeah, hot take. I know it's sizzling over here. Yeah, Vikings wise, if we go quarterback, great. If we don't go quarterback, then I guess interior defensive line. like Byron Murphy the second. Like he's great. If you want to go a edge guy like a Jared Verse or another interior, Jerzon Newton out of Illinois, that's also great. I don't think we'll be able to because I firmly believe we would be trading up and we're only going to have one first round pick and not two. But
right,
those are some options if you don't trade up and you can take one of those guys at 11 and then a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix at 23, which again, I don't want, but that could be a potential I've seen.
Yeah.
So
we'll see.
I don't know.
I wouldn't totally hate it.
Yeah. We running back, I don't think necessarily I've thought maybe we could get like Blake Corum or another guy like in the third round or something. But now that we have Aaron Jones and with Michael Chandler already there now, I'm like, I don't think we necessarily have to. I'm sure we'll probably draft someone.
Yeah.
Like someone. Day three or something.
Late.
I don't know. I don't think we necessarily need to rely on that. And then receiver, we do have to replace
KJ
at receiver three. So again, that's going to be probably a day two or a day three pick, which again, is fine. That's what KJ was. And we don't necessarily need it because we have Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. So we don't really need to spend a high premium on your third receiver.
That Jordan Addison pick is looking a lot better right now.
Yeah.
Like, not that we hated it at first, but it was like, oh my God, well, like a cool surprise.
It was the end of the run. So it's like, you know, when you had four straight receivers taken, he was the fourth one there. And like, oh, all right. I still liked him more than some of the other guys. Like, I was a big Zay Flowers guy out of last year. Not like I disliked Jordan Addison, but it was just,
right,
he wasn't available, obviously. So I'm like, Jordan Addison, I think Justin Jefferson being hurt last year for like half the season helped his development so much.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's where I think like he's ahead of schedule than some of the other guys taken ahead of him. Quentin Johnston was a disaster.
Dud.
Yeah, like he's going to be
JSN
so
couldn't
bad.
See the field.
Yeah, JSN couldn't really see the field. And then obviously Zay Flowers, he did see the field. But
and then he screamed at L'Jarius Sneed in the biggest game of his life.
And then he fumbled. Well, that was the biggest like.
Ball don't lie.
Yeah, dude, that was like the biggest. Oh, God. Because he made a great play on him. And like, a couple plays later.
Well, he got flagged for yelling at him.
Yeah, and then he fumbled. It's like, oh, no. Like, oh, it was a rookie moment. And, like, that was kind of the reason why they lost that game.
Yeah.
And so Zay Flowers, I think, will be great or be a very good player.
He knows how to run straight and not do get the ball and then, like, starts juking nine times in a row.
Yeah, that system. The system is going to be very interesting, though, for him, obviously. Like, it's not a – you really have to be productive in the chances you get as a receiver in that Baltimore offense, whereas in the Vikings offense, you're going to get a lot of opportunities because guess what? Kevin O'Connell, shocker, the quarterback, likes to throw.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Yeah, and you guys are in a decent spot. You know, you got Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson for now. And, you know, it's just
forever.
We'll see. Yeah, whatever for now.
I mean, that's one of those things we saw in kind of like last bit here. Like they – mentioned,
I can't tell
like,
if Adam's just ignoring the last part of the sentence that I said, or if he just
I usually do.
Okay, gotcha.
I usually just breeze past him.
I was expecting a reaction, and you just kept on going.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just gonna
Someday Justin Jefferson won't be on your team.
Yeah, when he retires, and then he gets put in the Vikings Ring of Honor in the Hall of Fame.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Facts.
Right. But I don't have to worry about that for like a decade, so I'm fine.
Mm. Okay.
So
okay,
it's great. Optimism. That's the theme here, and I don't know. I think that the Vikings we're not going to make any moves, I don't think, with the trading up. But when we're going to do it the next episode, we're going to do our full mock draft of the first round. And we will be doing that without trades. So it's always going to be like a little caveat, like, oh, you know, I don't really think this is going
to
actually happen.
I feel like we need to break that rule this year.
You can try.
Yeah. I don't know how we would do it fairly, but I think we need to.
Yeah. I mean,
who do you think they have the handshake agreement with? New England?
My money would be on New England.
Because if they want May, they're going to have to do it with New England.
Unless they have one. I have seen like things with like the Cardinals. Like the Cardinals, I think.
But that assumes that the New England wouldn't take it.
I feel like it'd be dumb for Arizona to take that deal. Because then you work yourself out of Marvin Harrison.
What did they do last year? What did they do last
times
year? They traded out for the Texans to get Will Anderson, but then they traded right back up and they still got Paris Johnson.
So, which was
like,
huge
they
for
could
them.
Do like easily they could go you know, trade back and then trade back up, you know, whether that's to the Chargers or whatnot. I mean, like, Monty Austin Fort is a psycho on the phones. Like, they put out that clip of him, like, just, I mean,
that was crazy.
You know, pride of Minnesota, Monty Austin Fort. He is a psychopath when he's on the phones. That's why I love, like, I'm going to watch Draft Day in a couple weeks just because, like, the movie's preposterous. But it's entertaining. Like, I don't know. It's like a rite of passage to watch it on Draft Day. But it
wasn't the Browns.
Yeah, I know. That's where it's tough.
That's the worst part.
Yeah, like, it's the Browns. Like, oh, no.
Because you know that, like, they're like, oh, we got to get this guy. And I'm like, well, his career is going to be a disaster because you're the Browns.
He's going to be out of the league in 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, Vontae Mack, no matter what. Yeah, baby, let's go.
Really lowers the stakes.
But I think that it's not necessarily a foregone conclusion that the Cardinals trade out of the fourth spot. They're not just going to go back up for what they gave us, what we gave them or whatever, trade part of that to get back up to five or six or seven or whatever.
Right.
And it just, I don't know. I feel like we do have to figure something out where we can get a trade in there, because, like, I don't think picking twice the Vikings on our mock draft is going to be accurate at all.
No, that's why I said we got to figure something out. Well, we got 2 weeks to figure
it
out.
We got a couple weeks to figure it out. So that's going to be next week or the next episode. Hashtag Dr. Dre. So we're going to be doing that, and hopefully we have some more clarity. Maybe. I don't think we're going to get a trade before then, though.
Say probably hashtag not. Hashtag Dr. Dre?
Yeah, because I said the next episode.
Oh, I guess.
It's the song.
I've never heard someone say the words hashtag Dr. Dre before.
Now you have.
In that order.
Now you have. It's great. All right, I think that's going to do it. So thanks for listening to our episode of Third and Forever, presented by 10,000 Takes. Go to the website at 10ktakesmn.com. Find them on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. If you just search 10K Takes, you can also find us on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram at third_forever10k, where we post links to our episodes each week or every other week in the off season, as well as clips from the episode, highlights, reactions, memes, news for the Vikings, Packers, Bears, as well as the NFC North and NFL in general. If it's big enough, we are officially on to the NFL draft. It is trying to get through the last bit of this smokescreen season. It's starting, the picture's getting clearer. We're starting to get a sense of who the teams actually like, who they want. The next episode is going to be all about the draft. We're going to do our full mock draft of the first round, and we're going to figure out how we can get the Vikings up there.
We're going to do our full mock draft of all seven rounds.
All seven rounds. All 256 picks or whatever.
6 hour podcast of nonsense. Yeah. Just nothing.
I'll listen the whole time just to hear Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah. As always, I've been your host, Adam Oz, joined by my co-host, Kevin Olm, and friend of the pod, AJ from State of Skull. State of Skull, where can we find State of Skull?
State of Skull 10K on all social platforms, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, as well as me personally, AJ Murphy 763.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's so close, guys. We're so close to the next stage, and this is the fun part. We've gotten through we're getting through the dead period between free agency and the draft. And once we get into the actual draft, then we got enough to carry us into the offseason when OTAs and training camp starts, because we got new players on our team, and especially hopefully a new and exciting direction for the Vikings with a quarterback. The Packers, seeing if they can capitalize on their success of last year in the Jordan Love era. Is it a flash in the pan? We'll find out.
Nope.
Kevin's like, Hall of Fame already. Said, get nope. Him his gold jacket. All right, that's going to do it. Thanks, Kevin. Final words.
Give me your final words. I was going to... Stephon Diggs is washed. That was what I had planned.